2:24 and 25. I would like to begin the reading though in verse 17. Before we hear God's word, however, let's go to Him in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We pray, God, that You would shine the light of the gospel on our hearts, that we might be transformed more and more into the image of Christ our Savior. We pray that You would do this great work in us this evening. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. The book of Jude, beginning in verse 17, beloved, this is the word of God. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the Word of God. Well, this will be the first part of two sermons from these last two verses of Jude. So the focus of the text primarily this evening will be from Jude 24, which we just read. Now, if we are allowed to speak this way about God's Word, all of which is wonderful, all of God's Word is wonderful, in my mind, personally, these two verses in the Bible make up one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. Now, it's interesting that this wonderful doxology here is found at the end of this particular letter, at the end of this very short book, comprised of only 25 verses. This glorious doxology might take us by surprise. The occasion of the letter is that false teachers have infiltrated the church. Jude warns the church about them, and he calls the true sheep to contend for the faith. He then spends the majority of the letter detailing the many wicked characteristics and practices of these wolves in sheep's clothing. He also solidifies the fact that the intruders would receive the full measure of God's wrath in judgment. He said they were designated for this condemnation. These areas of discussion, which take up a large part of the letter in Jude, are not what most Christians want to spend a whole lot of time hearing about. In the midst of all the sins and trials and the darkness that plague our lives on a daily basis, it is comforting to hear of God's goodness. It's comforting to hear of God's mercy to His people. God's people want to hear of God's goodness and His mercy in the midst of all the trials that we face throughout our daily lives. We want to hear of His grace to us in Jesus Christ. We want to know that His grace to us in Christ is very real, which it is. Christ is a very present help in times of trouble. But a part of our reality as Christians, friends, is that we live in a world where people are not always what they first seem to be. There are those who outwardly confess God and Christ, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. This is a reality for the church throughout every age. Jesus Christ Himself was surrounded by false teachers like the ones that are described in Jude's letter. This is part of the suffering that we experience as those united to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we have to address this reality. Sometimes we come face to face with this reality. This is what Jude does in this letter. Now, I'm sure it wasn't exactly fun for Jude to have to write a letter like this, but it was necessary. In fact, he tells us in this letter that he had plans to write something else, but the intrusion of these false teachers forced him to write this particular letter, and therefore this letter was necessary for Jude. And in doing what was necessary for the sake of the purity and the peace of the church, he ends up in, by the end of the letter, he ends up in doxology. He ends up in praise of God. In these last two verses, Jude praises God who guards our faith through Christ in all times, forever and ever. Now, there are other doxologies in the New Testament. 2 Peter, for example, which is very close to Jude in terms of content, in terms of the language that is used in both letters. 2 Peter ends this way. He says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Another doxology that's very similar to Jude's, is the one that is used by Paul at the end of Romans, where he says this, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." The formula for Jude's doxology and a couple of others that we see in the New Testament is fairly consistent. In these doxologies, the object of the praise is expressed, namely God. The object of the praise is expressed in a preposition. That is to say, at the beginning of the doxology, the writer says, to him be glory forever and ever, etc. To him, and so the object of the praise is given, and then honor is ascribed to him along with other attributes. And then the duration of the honor is given, how long the praise is to last, namely forever. And then the doxology ends with a kind of invitation for the hearers to affirm what has just been said about God. And this invitation is done with a simple amen. So you see the formula there is fairly consistent in these doxologies. Now, before this doxology here in Jude had commanded the church to keep themselves in the love of God. This was to be their proper response to wicked people in their fellowship. They were to keep themselves in the love of God. And as they did this, they were also to show mercy to others. Well, here, Jude begins this doxology by addressing God, who is praised as he who is able to keep. Now, Jude here references at the beginning of this doxology, when he says, he who is able to keep, Jude references God's almighty power. God is all powerful. He is able. He is able to keep. He has the power to bring into existence things that were not. He sustains the universe by the word of his power. He has the power to raise the dead. He has the power to kill and to make alive. So God is all powerful, and we see this in Holy Scripture, but the particular aspect of God's power that Jude identifies here is the power that God has to keep believers from stumbling. The intruders' self-centeredness and their sinfulness, it had the potential to negatively influence the lives of the sheep. This is what was going on in the lives of Jude's hearers. They could be tempted to fall into the same sort of sin that the intruders were participating in. And this is the kind of stumbling that Jude has in mind, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. But it's not just falling into sin for a time that Jude has in mind. Rather, Jude has in mind a complete and final falling away from the grace of God. It is a stumbling unto eternal destruction. Eternal condemnation is the consequence of a life committed to sin, a life committed to disobeying God's word. This is the kind of stumbling that Jude has in mind. Peter says that Christ is a stone of stumbling to those who do not believe. That is to say, that the wisdom revealed in the crucifixion of Christ is rejected by those who do not believe. It is a stone of stumbling. They reject the gospel, and therefore they stumble unto destruction. They reject the gospel. Like the false teachers in Jude's day had rejected the gospel, though they had taken the name of Christ upon their lips, though they had taken the outward form of being part of the Christian community, inwardly they have rejected the gospel, and therefore they stumble into destruction. If you are listening tonight and you have rejected the gospel, you have not received the gospel as something to be believed, you have not embraced Jesus Christ, please know that you will stumble into destruction if you continue along that path. The Bible calls us to repent and believe in the gospel in order to be saved. This is the call that Holy Scripture gives to all men: repent and be saved. Repent and believe in the gospel and be saved. Now, those of us who have believed, we believe because by God's power we have been regenerated. We have been given the gift of faith. We have been given the gift of faith to embrace Jesus Christ in the gospel. But for believers, sin still remains, and it is a powerful force. We are not able on our own to withstand its influence. It is by God's power, it is by the power of God's Spirit that we are able to resist temptation, and it's by the power of the Spirit that we are kept from falling away. The harassment of Satan, if we think about it long enough, the harassment of Satan, the temptations of the world, our flesh, the persecutions that come at us from the world, this would all overtake us and it would consume us if God himself did not abide within us. Jesus taught about the absolute weakness of man when he spoke about the intensity of the tribulation in the last days. He said, if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Jesus put it another way when he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jude praises God here as he writes about the church fighting against sin, because he knows that even as believers must suffer and contend for the faith in this life, God alone is able to keep us from stumbling. He has the power to keep us from falling away. Now, Jude here is not saying that God is able to keep us and therefore might keep us. He has the power to keep us, but then there is that decision that he has to make whether or not he wants to keep us. This is not what Jude is saying. He is praising God because he will keep us. He alone has the power to keep us, and he will keep us. Believers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. This is what Scripture teaches us. The flame of Christ's love for us cannot be quenched. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Our initially being drawn to Christ is to the praise of his glory, and our being kept in Jesus Christ is to the praise of his glory. This is what Jude is praising God for. Now think about it. If we truly kept ourselves by our own power, then we could praise ourselves on the last day. There would be a reason for boasting on the part of believers, boasting in ourselves. But all such boasting is excluded. We will not have a reason to boast in ourselves because God is able to keep us. God keeps us from stumbling. On the last day, rather, we will praise God, saying, to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us to himself before his presence with great joy, be all glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forever. We will praise God for having kept us in his love. Jude, in this doxology, has in mind here, as he praises God for the power that is at work within us and that will keep us from stumbling, he praises God. As he praises God here, he has in mind the day of judgment, the very last day. It is on that day that all people will stand before the glory of God on his throne. That we will be presented before God's glory. All people will stand before the glory of God on his throne, and they will either stand vindicated, or they will fall condemned. Now, Paul uses this same language in Romans. He says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. You see there the certainty. He will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. The Lord has the power to make him stand. Again, notice there the certainty of the believer's vindication. He will be upheld. He will be upheld because God has the power to uphold him. Later in that same chapter, Paul says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Jude speaks of God's glory here. On the last day, human beings will be presented before God's glorious presence. Now, what is God's glory? Well, God's glory could be described as the infinite brilliance and the eternal radiance and splendor of God as God. That is what we will be presented before on the last day. Or it could be defined in this way, based upon the teaching of Holy Scripture. God's glory is the sum of all of his attributes. When Jude here speaks of believers being presented before the glory of God's presence, he is speaking of the glory of God who is revealed in Scripture as light, as love. He is revealed in Scripture as all-powerful, as infinitely holy, as eternal. He is without beginning or end, and on and on. Well, this unsurpassed glory is revealed in creation, and it's revealed in God's work of redemption, and is revealed supremely in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is described as the radiance of the glory of God. Believers are those who are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the very glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Revelation of the glory of God at various times in the history of God's people, how is it described? We're thinking about what is God's glory? What is that glory going to be like on the last day? Well, the revelation of that glory at various times in the history of God's people is described as lightning and fire. It's described as a storm cloud or bright shining metal. It's described as a rainbow and brightness or light. When the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the field at the time of Christ's birth in the New Testament, we are told that the glory of the Lord shone around them and that they were afraid, and therefore it was like light, for it shone around them. This is the way the Bible speaks of God's glory. Now, because of sin, no human being can stand before the presence of God's glory. No human being can withstand the power of the presence of God's glory. God's glory requires that he punish sin. It requires that he purge all unholiness from his presence. The psalmist, for example, says to the Lord, O Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Who could stand before your glory? The answer is no one. But he goes on and says in that same psalm, he says, but with you, there is forgiveness of sins. Jude gives glory to God because he has the power to make us stand before his glorious presence by the blood of his Son. God has the power to vindicate men from every nation because of the blood of his only begotten Son. Jesus has the power to cleanse us of our sins. It is by his blood then, and by the power of God, that we will stand before his glory. We will stand before God's glory, innocent and righteous, forever freed in body and soul from all traces of sin. We will stand by God's power, blameless, as Jude says here. We will stand without blemish, spotless. We will be like a bride dressed in pure white, like a bride who is dressed in pure white and who is presented to her husband on their wedding day as she is dressed in white as a symbol of purity and holiness. So, too, we will be presented blameless before our God and Savior on the last day. God has the power to do this, and he will. It is then, friends, that God the Holy Spirit will have completely finished his work of transforming us, body and soul, into the image of Jesus Christ and his glory. That is when the work of the Holy Spirit in renewing us into the image of Christ will be completed. Now, Jude has here in this doxology, he has two points in time in mind in this letter. He has the end, the final glorification, and the public vindication of believers on one hand in his mind. God will present us before his glory, innocent, vindicated, righteous, blameless, before his glory. We will be presented before God's glory on the last day. We will be able to stand because of the blood of his son, because of the power of God. That is coming. But Jude also has in mind the present struggle, the present suffering, and the contending for the faith that believers go through in their daily lives as Christians. He has these two points of time in mind. One cannot be had without the other. In fact, it is through the suffering in our day, in Jude's day, he was writing to his hearers in his day who were suffering under the intrusion of false teachers, and it's through the suffering in our day that we learn more and more to delight in the fellowship that we have with God in Jesus Christ. Jude knows our final glorification and vindication on the last day is as certain as Christ's resurrection. It's as certain as Christ's second coming. We will stand on the last day. But Jude also knew that the Christians to whom he ministered suffer. And God knows that we suffer as well. We will be vindicated then, but we suffer now. And we must suffer. We must suffer as Christ suffered. We must suffer as Christ suffered because we are joined to Jesus Christ. And so Jude praises God for the glory of God's wisdom and the mercy that is revealed here. God will present us before his glory, but we must suffer before that day comes. Now, this doxology, friends, is as we look at this doxology, and Lord willing, we will look at it again another time. This doxology is 100% God-centered. It's completely focused on God and his glory. Any praise of man is completely removed from this word of glory or from this word of praise. But as Jude is contemplating how God is glorified in us and through us, he knows that we will benefit in this process. God is glorified, but we will benefit. And so he says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, eternal joy and fellowship with God in Christ in the bond of the Holy Spirit. This is what awaits us at the end of this battle. And so Jude gives glory to God. To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen.